And so Paul has laid out what a godly ministry looks like and the tenderness with which they came to the Thessalonians and treating them like loving parents, and such a beautiful picture of Paul's ministry among the Thessalonians, and really laying this out as a model for ministry in the New Testament. And so now we come to 13 to 16. He praises God for the way that they received the word. They received the word of the apostles as the very word of God. And how often do we hear the attitude reflected in young Samuel's response to the word of God? Speak, for your servant hears. You remember that story where he keeps getting awakened, and he's awakened, and he keeps thinking that it's his mentor, his teacher, that's talking to him, and he realizes finally that it's the Lord that's talking to him. And it's, of course, must have been a terrifying but also a wonderful experience. But his response is not to question it, but to say, speak, for your servant hears. That was his attitude. And so there was a hunger there with Samuel for the word of God. And there's a famine of the word of God today. In the 19th century, this room would be full on Sunday evenings. Not necessarily in this church. I'm imagining that it was orthodox back in those days and that there was preaching that was faithful to the word of God. But this was a church of 500 members at one time. And now we see that even evening services are being done away with in Bible-believing churches. So there's a tremendous dearth in the word and the preaching of the word and in hunger for the word of God. And I'm certain that the fault lies on both the hearers as well as the preachers of the word. But the fact is that disappearance should trouble us. It should lead us to deep prayer that the Word of God would once again have a powerful influence in this as well as many other places in our nation and in the world. And so if we look then at verse 13, we see that there's really a principle here and an imperative to us to receive the preached Word as God's truth. Now that can be misunderstood very easily because the preacher, every preacher, after Paul's inspired 13 letters, is fallible. Okay, we're very imperfect human beings, and the Lord knows that. And unbelievably and miraculously, he chooses imperfect people to bring his word to the people of God. But in that word, he is really saying what's wonderful about the Thessalonian reception is that they received the word of God, they heard from the apostles, and they accepted it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And so we need to be careful to approach the word of God, expecting to hear from God himself. And it's important to remember, if you look at verse 9, we see that Paul's conception of his preaching, and the word he uses the most for preaching, is heralding. And that was in the ancient world. The herald was not the persuader, the lawyer, who was highly skilled and trained in rhetoric, but he was actually someone who simply announced the message of his king. I've had people say, well, does that mean then that we don't challenge people by the word? No, because that's always part of the message. If you look at the New Testament and the Old, there is both the recitation of what God has accomplished and then the implications of it for our lives. So we see this in Deuteronomy. We just saw that. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. This is my great work to save you. And now here's how I want you to live. But that's what Paul stuck to. He didn't try to figure out how to persuade people. He brought them the message of the king, and that's what a herald does. And so, as he points out in 1 Corinthians 1 through 4, the herald is not someone that anyone thinks is really amazing. He's like the messenger that just simply comes with a message to deliver, and that's the role of the word. And so he's so thankful that they received the word as the word of God. And I know that you wouldn't be here this evening without knowing that, without loving the word of God and wanting to hear it. But our natural tendency, and it's in there even as we are believers, is what we might call Adamic deafness. In Adam, we're deaf. And as Adam and Eve turned away from obeying the Lord there in the Garden of Eden, what they did is they closed their ears. They didn't want to hear it. Did you ever have that happen? I remember one of our children used to, when we try to tell them something and correcting them, and they would go, they didn't want to hear. They would just like block it out, make noise so they couldn't get your words into their hearts and souls. And that's exactly what we are by nature. And of course today, and young people, be especially careful to note this in the world in which we live, that the whole marketplace of ideas out there is telling you not to believe that there is such a thing as the Word of God. One example would be the only reality is what you can see, what you can touch, what you can look at under a microscope or in a telescope. It's what's physical. That's the only reality. And this Word of God stuff is just the opinion of men. And they may have been kind of wise, that you'll hear that too, but the Bible, it is full of contradictions. You shouldn't believe this. And besides that, your opinion is as good as anyone's opinion. Now, in some circles, that may be true, but I'm quite sure that if I go to a surgeon who has been to the best medical school and has an excellent reputation, that his opinion is going to be better than the guy that didn't go to a very good school and has messed up a lot of surgeries. And so the truth is very important. And so here, what we have is we have the Word of God coming through men that have been called to preach the truth of God. Don't ever let anyone steal that away from you, that there is truth. There's lots of lying. There's lots of false news. We hear that phrase all the time out there. But the Bible is God's Word, and it is true. And inasmuch as the preacher brings you the Bible, you can trust that to be true. You can take the chaff of his own opinions or even bad illustrations and push all that stuff aside. But this is the truth, the Word of God. Wonderful, amazing. And now in our technological world, we are so flooded with information. I went on Instagram and Twitter just to do a kind of, well, I follow someone that takes great photographs on Instagram. So that's an interesting thing to do. And Twitter, I was intrigued as to how it works. And it's so much information. You scroll down through a Twitter feed, and it just keeps going and going and going and going. It could occupy your entire evening or week. And that's just one little thing. How does anyone keep up with this? Well, the fact is that it's the way of the evil one blocking out the reception of the Word of God. And so there are many things, always have been in the world, that work against your receiving the preaching of the Word as the very Word of God. And so we need to be careful then to really believe that the word that is being preached is the Word of God. It's not a psychological trick as if it was the Word of God, or like neo-orthodoxy, which is a dangerous theology, often actually preached the scriptures rather accurately, but said that it becomes the Word of God for you when you hear it. And we want to say, no, this is the objective Word of God. No matter what Reynolds does with it, this is the Word, the Bible. That is the infallible word. And his preaching, me or someone else, is only as good as what this word teaches. And that's why, of course, we need to be great Bible readers. And so faith believes then that it is the word of God. For good news came to us just as to them, says the writer of Hebrews, but the message they heard did not benefit them, that is the Jews in the Old Testament, because it was not united by faith with those who listened. And so they miss the voice of the Good Shepherd. In other words, faith, what is faith? It means to trust God, to believe that he is and that he rewards you when you believe that he is what he is, the true and living God, and to trust that what he's given us in his word is really trustworthy. We can be guided by this. We can live by it. We can suffer by it. And we can die by it and trust it. There's really no other word, even the word of a surgeon who's good, that is like this word. And so, it's the voice of the Good Shepherd. This is a wonderful way of thinking about it. One of the great Reformed confessions that probably Calvin was at least a major writer of or composer of, Second Helvetic Confession, and it says in it, this somewhat controversial statement, that the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. And the Reformers and the Puritans, to a man, believed that this was true. That when they preached, God was doing something amazing and miraculous through his preacher. I'm using the word miraculous a little loosely there, but it's something that the Spirit does through fallible men. He brings the voice of the Good Shepherd. And that's a very important way of thinking about it. Now, if we go and look at Romans 10:14, you might want to open your Bible at this point to that verse, to Romans 10:14. Something I discovered years ago, much to my dismay, and in fact, I'm going to turn there and read this from the ESV, which I think gets this wrong, actually. And I don't like to say that very frequently because I think this is an excellent and accurate translation. But if you look at Romans 10:14, it says, and here's where Paul is talking about the call of preachers and the need to have preachers go out with the good news in order for people to come into the kingdom of God. And so it says, but how are they to call on him, this is sinners among the nations, in whom they have not believed? Okay, so in whom they have not believed. So, in other words, it's putting Christ at one level of distance from the person that's hearing it. So then, if you look at the translations of, and particularly of the New American Standard Version, and this is in 1995, I think the 1901 Old American Standard Version is the same translation, and this is what it says. It doesn't say, of whom, but whom. How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And so what Paul is saying is that when preachers go out, Christ is speaking to the nations the good news that there's forgiveness of sins and new life for those who turn and put their faith in Christ. Luke 10:16 says that he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me. And so Jesus is there saying, as he sends out the 12, he's saying, those who hear you, because you have my word, they're actually hearing me. That's amazing when you think about what the nature of preaching is with fallible men, but an infallible word. And so we should expect them to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We should listen, and I'll tell you a few ways that you can help this to happen when you hear it, and especially important for young people, because I know it's not easy to listen to preaching that digs into the Word of God. But expect the preached word to make a difference in your life, to change you. It should be working in you. Notice that this is exactly what Paul says. He says this is actually working in you. It's working inside of you. It's actually, which is at work in you believers, it means literally to energize you. That's what it's meant to do. The Word of God is meant to energize you. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, I mentioned this morning. If you go to Hebrews 4:12, you'll see that the Word of God is living and active. So there's the idea of energy. And it's also, then you get the sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of soul and spirit, of your joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So here you have this amazing reality that the preaching is actually working in us. It's making a difference, and we need to expect this to happen. The preacher needs to expect this to happen and work at applying the word. It's like Calvin said, that true preaching is far above mere opinion, as heaven is above earth. And so he's really saying that heavenly doctrine is coming down to earth in the preaching of the word. And so Isaiah in chapter 55 says this, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Jeremiah describes the word as fire and as a hammer. So, in other words, it has an effect. You take a hammer and you hit a nail, and the nail gets driven into the wood. It's energized. And the same with fire. It burns wood. And so he's saying that the Word of God is to have an effect in our souls. It's to make a difference in who we are, beginning in the inward life and then working its way out. And notice the picture there in Isaiah. It's just like Psalm 1, where David, the man of God, is constantly meditating in the Word of God. And what happens? He grows like a beautiful tree beside the river. It's a beautiful picture of what the godly life that's affected by the Word of God looks like. And so, if you come prayerfully expecting to hear God's Word, you will really hear it. The problem in our culture is that we tend to be very passive listeners. The television and even the internet, it's fairly passive. We can watch something happen, but we're not called to bring something to it. And so a question is, what do you bring to the preaching? I'm going to suggest a few things at the end here. But that's a very important question. What do you bring to the preaching? I have a huge responsibility that I'm always aware of, sometimes painfully, to bring to you careful preparation and application of the Word of God, explanation and application, doctrine and application. But you as hearers need to bring to the Word something as well. Be prepared to hear the Word of God. And so you should also, though, expect tremendous opposition to the reception of the Word of God. And notice the way he puts this from verses 14 through 16, but particularly 14 and 15. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind. Wow. That is persecution. If you follow the life of Paul through the book of Acts, you'll see continuously, because of the word of God, he is being persecuted. And those who receive the word of God in different ways are being persecuted. The world does not like the word of God. It doesn't like the new commitment to the living and true God, to Jesus, that the word calls us to. The world hates that, and the devil absolutely loathes that and does everything in his power to keep you from the word of God and its blessing. And so he says in 2 Timothy to Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so there are so many different ways of being deceived out there. But the fundamental way is to remember that in all the different expressions of opposition to the Word of God, there is a hatred of the Word of God. One of the great ways, of course, that the evil one keeps us from the Word is he gets us to ignore it. He gets us not to pay attention to it. And if he can do that, he doesn't have to do anything else to keep us from benefiting from the Word of God. Now, there is something important here. There's been a charge here that this is anti-Semitic. And Luther, he said some things about the Jews that we wish he hadn't said. But what's interesting about that is it was not ethnic prejudice, which is what anti-Semitism is. He was against Jewish teaching and theology, against their opposition to the gospel. And if you want to call anyone anti-Semitic, it was the greatest Jew of all time, Jesus. Listen to what he says in Matthew 21. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. And so Paul follows Jesus, and he's simply saying, they killed the Lord Jesus, the Jews did. So did the Gentiles, by the way. And Paul was a Jew, so he could hardly be accused of being anti-Semitic. And in fact, if you look at his great indictment in Romans 3, who's guilty? When he brings the long indictment of sins against Jews first and then Gentiles, everyone is guilty of sin. There's no one that is exempt. And he tells us that he will surely judge everyone at the end of history. And there is judgment even now in the opposition that he has bringing the good news to the Gentiles, which he suffers for on a daily basis. We leave judgment to the Lord, and our call is to bring to the world the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we close, how can you be a good hearer of the Word of God? How can you help to bring something, to bring what you're supposed to bring to the hearing of the Word of God? I think there are several things, and we might have a whole sermon on this, but regular Bible reading. And young people, you know, it's hard to start reading the Bible. I can remember I quit after 12 chapters of Genesis as a liberal Congregationalist. It's not easy reading the Bible. I understand this. It's not easy hearing. But the first place you learn it is when mom and dad read the scriptures on a regular basis to you and explain them in a clear and simple way. Pay attention to that, because that helps you to hear the Word of God, which has to go out to all the people of God, those who are highly experienced in the Bible, as well as those who are just beginners. And so, regular Bible reading. And then I would say, if you come expecting to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, for all the imperfections of any sermon, if it's based on the Bible, and you come expecting to hear Jesus talk to you, address you through the preaching and the reading of the Word, he will. You will never be disappointed if you expect that. And I sometimes struggle if I go to a church that's not in our Reformed Communion and maybe doesn't have music that I think is very reverential. I struggle with that. And what I do is I say, Lord, help me to listen to the Word and to receive it and listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Now, there are churches where the Bible is not believed that you're not going to hear that voice, although when the Scripture's read, you will. But the fact is that in other churches, I've found that I can be blessed if I ask that question of myself. What? Listen for that voice, and therefore pray. If Paul the Apostle, and here at the end of Ephesians 6, if he needed prayer for preaching, then Greg Reynolds sure does. And every preacher of the Word of God in the modern world needs to be prayed for continuously in order that you might be benefited. And we should also thank God for ministers. I think about my different friends that are ministers throughout our denomination and throughout our area. And it's wonderful that the Word of God is there, and we should be very thankful for it. Also, we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. Young people, I'm not calling you kids, by the way, because my mother told me that you're not baby goats, and so I never forgot that. So, young people or kids, be careful to remember, tell your friends. They don't know the good news if they are not believers, and you can tell them how wonderful the gospel is, how wonderful it is to be forgiven, not to have to live in fear, but to know the very creator of all the wonderful things that they experience in life, and also the one who can comfort them with all the difficulties that they face. That's the gospel, and that's a wonderful thing. And so those are a few things that will help us as a congregation to be good hearers as well as a good preacher of the Word of God. Let's pray.